morning. I'm really, really excited about today because I'm very excited about talking about serving. It's one of my passions. I don't feel much strongly about much else than serving in the church and in the world. And so today we're going to do something a little bit different. After I talk for a little bit, we're going to break out and take some tours because there's no way I could tell you about all the serving areas here. But before you leave, I ask you to hang in with me for a little while because I have a few things to say. We have been talking about the challenge of community. We talked about the challenge of knowing and being known, loving and being loved, and today, serving and being served. And it is a challenge. It's a challenge because we live in such a world with so many different things that pulls us, so many different tensions in our life, right? We don't really even want to be served because that would just make us appear needy. That would make us appear incompetent in some way if we needed something. Think about the last time you actually asked someone for help, okay? That has probably been a long time for some of us. For some of us, we're well-versed in asking for help because we need a little bit more, and that's okay. But it's a very difficult thing for most of us to ask for help, to be served. Could you please serve me, right? Makes us feel something. The problem is we are needy, and we do need to be served. However, that's a whole nother sermon for another day, okay? And then there's this other side of us that is able to contribute. And when we're able to contribute and we're able to serve and use our gifts and give our time and our talent, we really want to. We really want to be able to do that. But it gets complicated because people don't really want to be served. So do you see the tension there? That there's people who really don't want to be served but are needy in the world and in this church. And then there's us who wants to, really I'm on both sides. Right? That I want to be served and I want to serve. But finding that what to do, like how to do that, gets really, really complicated. And in the end, sometimes we just don't do anything because it's so complicated. Like, what am I going to do? I can't even begin to think about it. Let me just figure out what's going to be for dinner. You know, that's like the big thing in my house. So one example of this was I was at a wedding a few years ago in Colorado, and this gal had been single for a long time, and we were really excited for her. And so there was a lot of us at this wedding that were without our husbands and children because we knew each other in our single days. And we were all talking about what we did and what our husbands did. And this gal around the table, she was from San Francisco, she said, "My husband is part of a think tank." And I was like, oh, I want to know about think tanks. I think that would be so cool to get paid to think all day long. Think. What do they think about? You know, what are you thinking of? So I'm like, what's this think tank thinking about in my naivete? And she goes, oh, he's trying to solve world poverty. And I thought, this is an issue close to Jesus' heart. How are we going to solve world poverty? So I ask her, how are they going to solve world poverty? How will this happen? I really want to know. And she said, oh, it's complicated. And what I said is, she was trying to be nice to me, you know, but the truth of the matter was, I'm not smart enough to solve world poverty. I know this. I thought someone else, you know, like, there's other issues going on inside of me that I think I'm often too stupid to figure out anyway. But I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm not going to figure this out. So the conversation stopped. And in my mind, I told myself, well, then why should I care? I can't do anything about world poverty, can I? In a lot of ways, I think about the Horn of Africa and the famine that's happening there right now. And I think, what can I do about that? Honestly, what can I do? Sometimes it's just too painful to think about. Sometimes it's just too full of myself and my inner psyche. Not really that I don't want to do something, but it's I really don't think I can. I really don't know what's going to bridge that gap. It's complicated. And I'm not smart enough, rich enough, or have enough time to figure it out, am I? This is at the core of why we don't get involved or participate at church as well. I hear friends of mine complain and complain about their congregations and why their congregations don't participate, or why they have a lack of participation and things like that in other churches. And I always think, oh gosh, I'm so thankful for Lakeland, because we have such a high rate of participation here. People get involved, and I'm really, really thankful about it. And I'm really proud of our church for those reasons. And then I think, what about those people who aren't involved? What's going on with them? And at the core of it, I think we just don't think that we can make a difference, that we can really, what we do really, really matters. It's exactly this that makes us not care about things. And even further, to not care about the things that God cares about very, very deeply. If we cave into apathy and we think we can't do anything, then it's really difficult to become the people of God in the world. And if we cave into apathy, apathy is a church killer. Not caring is probably the largest problem that churches are confronting in the world right now. Now, I can only tell this story here because it's not fun, but I am the least talented person that I know. This is not an exaggeration. And growing up, I realized that I was the least talented person I knew. There's a story of me being in junior high choir where the teacher says, "Someone's off." I won't tell the whole story, but she narrows it down to me. And I'm just singing. I was not an artist. Literally, this is another little traumatic thing. I hate to bring y'all back here, but you know the turkey hand where you, at Thanksgiving, you draw? I couldn't trace my own hand, so I had to stay after school to get the turkey hand done. I still remember that one. I was kind of a sickly child. I was the youngest and the smallest in my class. I had asthma, and my mom would always say, "Oh, you can't exercise." Back then, they thought you couldn't exercise or participate in sports if you had asthma, because that would bring on an asthma attack. She didn't want to go to the hospital. I was just a sickly child. I was never chosen for the team. Okay, so before you feel sorry for me, I didn't really grasp how really lacking in talent I was. I still tried out for everything. And I still try, you know, I'm still participating no matter what. I'm going to get some "I don't believe yous," but you can talk to my husband. I really can't sing or do any of those things. To top it all off, I'm half Asian, and everyone expected me to be really good at math. If you're Asian out here, come talk to me later. But I'm not. You can ask Garrett that as well, because he just sits there and says, "We're going to talk budget with everyone but Marta." Here's what happened, though. In all these areas where I tried out for these things, and you guys know you're going through this now with your kids at school. They're starting to get involved in things. And I couldn't do any of these things. What happened was that every rejection that turned to my way, and every time I couldn't do something or couldn't participate in anything, I felt like I didn't belong. I had so many, you guys know this because you're nodding. You don't feel like you belong when you don't have these certain skills. And what God did, here's the beauty of it all. He gave me a heart for people who don't belong. Because if I were really good at any of those things, I would not even think twice about all y'all who feel like you don't belong. And I am thankful for that. So don't feel sorry for me, because I am very thankful for that. And what God did, somewhere he gave me this gift, and he gave me this strength. And it was a strength of noticing and a strength of saying, I heard this small whisper in my head, even as young as like 4, that said, "You can do that. You can do that." And I would look around and I would see these things that said, that I knew I couldn't do. And God would still whisper to me, "You can do that." Even if I couldn't. He gave me this gift, and I would like to give that to you right now. And I would hope and pray that you receive this gift. It is a still small voice in your head that God will whisper at some given time, if you allow it and you give yourself space. God will say, you can do that. You can do that. There's something in the church that God has created you for. You may not know it yet. You may not have experienced it yet. You may have experienced something that you know God said, don't do that. You know, like that is not what you're supposed to be doing. But there's something out there that God will say to you, you can do that. There's something you can do, and you know what else you can do, and this is the one thing that he also gave to me. You can care. You can care. You can give a care about something. Because apathy is a church killer, and really apathy is a life killer. So, can you care about everything? No, we're going to go back to that apathy thing. If you try to care about everything in this church, if you go to Annapurna and China and all these, and do pro day and do everything, you will become apathetic. It's called compassion fatigue. You will not be able to care about the things that God wants you to care about. But you can care about one of them. And you can care about this church and doing something here in this church. It only takes an hour or two a month to be with a kid and to love on a kid. I've never felt so loved by this church than when my kids were loved on. You can do that for someone else. It only takes 1 or 2 hours a month to be available at that kiosk in the lobby for someone who's new and show them that you care. It only takes about 4 hours a month to work at a coffee bar to make this environment a little more homey for someone who's new and for the rest of us that need caffeine to listen to people who are on stage like me. There's people here that come in for about 2 to 3 hours a week that clean these chairs that you're sitting on without anyone knowing. I see women weeding out there in the parking lot, a very small portion, using just a few hours a month to weep, to show that someone gave a care about this building and someone cared that when you walked in that you might see something that God created. Not something perfect or flashy, but something that God created. Something that God is doing here, which I know he is. It takes all of us to be able to give a care. And 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. He speaks as the church is a body. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Because we need every part of this body. Skilled, unskilled, talented. Just need you to care. Just need you to care. Just a little bit. Not even a lot. Just a little bit. We need everybody. We need everyone to care. Because apathy is a church killer. Your life, your story, your enthusiasm, your little tiny bit that wants to be just like Jesus, if you just want to be just a little bit like Jesus, requires you to care just a little. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to have a theology degree. You just have to care a little bit and be willing to be known and be known and love and be loved and serve and be served as well. Sometimes it's our job to get served and to be receiving that as well. We need that. Your fight against apathy matters more than your skill or talent or your spiritual story or your past failures or the fact that your marriage didn't work out or the fact that you failed at another church and you don't want to do that again here and because you're embarrassed or whatever, or the fact that your kids are wayward. It doesn't matter. All those things matter a lot. They matter to you, and we care about that too, but they matter a lot less than your ability to care and to do something. Not everything, but something. Okay, so at Lakeland, we ask you to serve one service and worship another service. And so some of you have already served during first service. Sometimes we ask you to serve 1 week and then worship another week. And there are all people, all different kinds of people in this room of all different life stages. And so what we're going to do is for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to ask you guys to participate because it's a serving day. We're not going to ask you to serve, but we're going to ask you to participate by going on a tour of all these ministry areas. So I'm going to show you guys these people who are going to be taking our tour guides. But in the meantime, I want you guys to think about your life stage because life stage matters. If you're young, if you're in high school and you're in here, I say try something now. Garrett was a curtain folder when he first started. Now he's our pastor. Did that when he was probably very young. Chris Lee, golly, I remember Chris when he was in college. He was on staff in college. So if you're young, you have such a great opportunity to try things out in a safe environment. The world will be harsh on you. Try it out here in the safe environment. If you're in that kid stage, what a great stage for you guys to be in, to have natural connectors. Because what happens is you see your kids' friends at church, and then you serve with them, and then you see them at the grocery store, and then you see them on the soccer field and all these things. You have natural connectors there. And if you're empty nesters, oh, we need you. We need you. You have time, and you have life experience, and those are the times that you can serve and connect with us younger people. Or actually, I'm getting there too, so I don't know what I'm talking about. My kids are gonna be gone soon. We need your stories. We need you to connect with us. We don't, please. There's so many people out here that said, well, I'm not with kids. My kids, I'm an empty nester. I don't have anything to do. All y'all keep saying this to me, so I know there are more than one of you. Yeah. So, come on up, guys. Chris Lee, Worship Arts. If you're interested in what happens in this room, and there's a lot more that happens in this room on a Sunday morning besides just music, there's graphic arts, screens, My Story, all these things. If you're interested in what happens in this room on a Sunday morning, stay here in this front part. Chris will give you a tour of what happens on Sunday mornings. Jamie Davis, Family Ministry. She's in bright pink, so she can be, I asked everyone to wear their things. Look, you guys are so bright. Okay, so Jamie's going to take everyone to the lobby over by the infant room, right when you walk in, the vestibule when you walk in, that part of the lobby. Megan Hunter is going to talk about, she's Jamie's Family Ministry. If you're friendly, if you can be friendly, go with Megan, because Megan's going to take you a tour of all the lobby things, greeters, connections kiosk, coffee bar, and culinary team. So those are the things that she'll take you on a tour of. She'll be meeting you outside the doors of the sanctuary. It's underneath the awning that says Soul Sanctuary. If you can just give some of your time to that. And then Matt is our facility team director, and he's going to meet you over in the blue, what I call the blue lobby, but I think he calls it the west lobby. Is it east lobby? I told you I couldn't do the turkey thing. You guys, don't tell me you don't believe me because I really... So, West Lobby. Blue Lobby is what I... East Lobby! East Lobby. I told you there's a lot of grace here.
You're facing north right now.
I'm facing north. Jamie's like, don't give her a checkbook either. Okay, so... Blue Lobby. Facility team. Matt says you don't have to be particularly handy to be on the facility team. You just have to be willing to learn, be willing to move. It's an active job. It's not something that you're all sit around on. So if you like to be active, then that's something that you should go on that tour. So meet him over there, wherever. Got it? Thanks, guys. So everybody in this room will go on one of these four tours. Obviously, we have many, 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 many jobs here at church. We have many, many things that we do out in the community and further out into the world. Those things won't be talked about today. We talk about them a lot. This is just about Sunday services, what you can do here. So what I'd like for you to do is to meet one of those people in those areas that I told you to do, and then come back, because we'll finish up together. Don't slip out the door. Don't leave. Come back, and we'll talk a little bit more. Okay, ready, set, go. Wasn't that fun just to see what's going on here at church? Even if you sat there and you took the tour and you thought, this probably is not for me, it's just cool to see the body of Christ at work. I hope you had a good time. So I know that each one of the ministry areas gave you something to sign up if you wanted to sign up right away, but this yellow card, if you didn't get one, there will be extras in the back. This is for you to fill out and sign up if you wanted to take an additional tour. So maybe there's something else that you wanted to see, and or you're interested in, or you want to do two things. You're an overachiever. No, I don't suggest that. But definitely sign up for that. Hand it to the greeters in the back and put them in the basket. If you're a small group leader, you didn't get represented today, I just thank you. I know there are many, many small group leaders here that are serving in that capacity and in pastoral capacities in the soul care team in the back that are praying with people. So there's a special thank you for those people who are that didn't get talked about too much to hear today. Okay, if you want to be in a small group, this is the last week. The signups are at the kiosk in the lobby. Please don't forget to do that. Make sure that you sign up. They'll be starting up in September after Labor Day, so make sure you get signed up for that. One last little thing I wanted to tell you about serving is that the coffee bar is most likely set to close very soon. Our fearless leader, Chrissy, who's been here for a long time, is getting ready to have a baby. And so she'll be taking time off to be doing that. But we don't have a leader for the coffee bar after that. And we should congratulate Chrissy for all of her hard work. And definitely she needs time with that baby. So make sure you do that. Woo, Chrissy. I don't want to embarrass her because I know she gets embarrassed easily. But she's done a lot of hard work on that. If you have that little still small voice in your head that says, I can do that, I can lead that coffee bar, then come talk to me afterwards, because there's volunteers there and there are people still willing to serve there. Just need a little bit of leadership during the week on that one. So I wanted to kind of give that an extra plug, because I know that that is something that Lakeland has really enjoyed from the beginning. So great job to everyone who's on that team and to who's served in the past, but going through transition. So let me know if you're interested in that. Okay. Stand for the benediction. I was watching Chariots of Fire the other day, and they there was an opponent about the 1924 Olympics, and it's the story of Eric Little, who wouldn't run on a Sunday to honor the Sabbath. And his opponent, Abraham, said, realized very quickly that he was not going to win that race. And he told his wife, if I can't win, I won't run. And she said, well, if you don't run, you won't win. And Eric Little, on the contrary, tells his sister, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. And if I win, let it be to honor. Let it be to honor him. So let us have that same mentality, that when we run and when we serve, that we would be honoring him and that we would experience his pleasure. May you know and be known, love and be loved, serve and be served. Go in peace.